to port! Give me room to starboard! Ready the lifeboats!
Frank Morgan wasn't the sort of man who ever gave in to despair, but even his Viking heart sank a little at the sound of those words. Hoffman wouldn't order his men to prepare the lifeboats unless he planned to abandon the ship, and he wouldn't abandon the ship unless it was sinking. Frank glanced out at the storm-tossed waves and the jagged rocks sticking up through them like fangs. The thought of trusting his life and the lives of Fiona and the brides to a little boat in that maelstrom made a chill even icier than the wind go through him.
Captain! Captain, what can I do to help?
Hoffman spun toward him.
Morgan, get those women together and into a lifeboat! The ship's going down!
Do you have enough lifeboats for everybody?
Of course! They'll be crowded, but we can make it. I recognize these islands. We're not far from Glacier Bay. I miscalculated somehow.
Hoffman's pale face under the rain hat was stricken as he made that admission.
But the current will carry the boats into shore if they can stay off the rocks. You'll be all right. Take as many supplies as you can, and if you follow the shoreline, it'll take you to Skagway.
The idea of trekking 100 miles or more overland in weather like this wasn't very appealing, but it beat the hell out of drowning in the icy Pacific, Frank thought. He nodded and turned to hurry back below decks. Fiona and Meg were waiting for him, and to his surprise, so were Pete Conway, Neville, and a couple of other gold hunters. Fiona grabbed his arm.
What did the captain say?
Get some warm clothes on and grab everything else you can. We're abandoning ship.
So it is sinking. We hit a rock or something, didn't we?
That'd be my guess. The same thing goes for you and your friends, Pete. Grab as many supplies as you can and head for the lifeboats.
Conway looked scared, but he didn't waste time asking any more questions. He turned to the others.
Let's go, fellas.
The next few minutes were barely controlled chaos. Frank made sure that the women were gathering supplies and understood what they were supposed to do. Then he headed for the cargo hold where Stormy, Goldie, and Wolf were. The horses would have to swim for shore. They wouldn't fit in the lifeboat. He knew their chances of survival were slim, but he couldn't leave them here. If any animals had the strength, stamina, and gallant hearts to make it through this ordeal, it was Stormy and Goldie. The horses were frightened, but not panicked. Frank grinned and roughed up the thick fur around Wolf's neck.
Stay with me, boy. We'll find room for you in the lifeboat.
He looked around for the heavy planks that formed the ramp, intending to put them in a place so that Stormy and Goldie could get out of there. He had just found them when a couple of sailors dropped into the hold.
Captain Hoffman sent us to help you. He figured you'd want to get those horses of yours out of there.
Thanks. Let's get that ramp up. We'll need some of these supplies when we get to shore. Load as many of the crates as you can into the lifeboats.
The men got busy with that while Frank slipped harnesses on the two horses and led them up the ramp to the deck. It was slippery for them, too, and he worried they might fall and break a leg before they ever got off the ship. The women staggered up from below, their arms full of bundles. One of the ship's officers had them place the supplies in one lifeboat, then climb into another themselves.
Hang on, ladies! We're about to swing you over the side!
The boat swung out on its davits, and then was lowered to the stormy sea. It bobbed and leaped, and they had to hang on for dear life. Frank bit back a curse as he watched. He wished he was in the same lifeboat, but it was too late to do anything about that. He'd been too busy loading supplies to stop. Pete Conway came up beside him, grunting with the effort of carrying a crate.
I don't know what's in here, Mr. Morgan, but I reckon we could probably use it.
Frank recognized the crate containing the rifles, pistols, and ammunition, and realized that Conway was carrying by himself what it had taken two sailors to load onto the ship. He took hold of it and helped Conway put it into one of the lifeboats. Captain Hoffman came along the deck.
All passengers in the lifeboats! All passengers off! Abandon ship! Abandon ship!
Hoffman paused and looked at Frank.
God, I'm sorry, Morgan. I don't know what happened.
Frank didn't say anything. He didn't know if Hoffman was truly to blame for this catastrophe or if it was purely a case of bad luck. Right now, he didn't care. Frank took hold of Conway's arm.
Climb in, Pete. I'll be right back.
He hurried over to his horses, grabbed their harnesses, and led them toward the edge of the deck where a section of railing had been swung out to let the lifeboats through.
You boys are gonna have to swim for it. I've never had a better pair of trail partners. I'll see you on shore.
Frank didn't know if the horses would jump off into the water or not. He didn't have a chance to find out.
Look out! The rocks!
The impact threw Frank off his feet. He landed on the icy deck and slid toward the edge. Twisting, he slapped at the deck to try to slow himself, but the ship kept tilting. Timbers groaned and snapped and bulkheads crumpled as the waves drove it against a giant rock. Frank had no chance to stop his slide. Like a rocket, he shot off the deck and plummeted toward the icy water below.